This episode contains graphic language and content that may be alarming to some. Listener discretion is advised.
Our children do not deserve what they've gotten over the last 2 years. They have done nothing to deserve the restrictions, the mandates, the stress, and they do not deserve any bit of it. And when you have people like Donnie Chamberlain, who is the only person in this room right now wearing a mask covering her coward face. Donnie, but you and your coward photographer, your coward little staff that you have, your 25 followers that read your bullshit little articles.
My name is Donnie Chamberlain. I'm a journalist. I worked at the Record Searchlight here in Reading for 10 years, but I lost my job.
You are a coward, Donnie Chamberlain. It's people like you that are making this life difficult for our children, for people that actually want to live in this county and make it better.
So I started this little blog, and first I was just going to write about recipes and living in the country.
Look at my eyes, Dolly, because I'm speaking to you.
Then the pandemic hit in 2020, and everything changed.
Telling lies about me, about my family, about my friends, contacting my ex-wife, the mother of my children, trying to get her to say things about me. How'd that work out for you, Donnie?
Howard.
This is Allen County, Donnie. We're fighting to take it back. From people like you.
There's this big divide, and it's not just COVID, and it's not just politics, and it's not just the state of Jefferson. It's just all mixed up.
I'm sorry you're miserable. I'm sorry you went through a humiliating divorce. I'm sorry your husband cheated on you publicly, and that's why you're so miserable and mad at the world. I'm sorry that happened to you.
I'm trying to get my head around what they're thinking and where they're coming from. I wish we could say, Donnie is liberal and this person is conservative, but we still have this in common and we still love each other.
This is what we're up against. We are up against people that will say anything and do anything to hurt our children, to hurt us. And we have to stand up. Enough's enough.
I think they're looking for a civil war. I mean, I really do. I think they're looking for an excuse to start using weapons.
Pick a side, hot or cold. I'm sick of people saying, I like what you guys are doing, but I can't speak up. Too bad, get on the other side. Because the ones of us who have skin in the game, we will stay here and we will fight and we will win. Thank you guys, keep up the fight.
From Interval Presents and Awfully Nice, this is The Last Resort. I'm Shute Scott. Episode 4, The Great State of Jefferson. When we first started working on this podcast, back in 2021, we had a pretty simple question. What would happen if California seceded from the United States? I don't think we ever really imagined that finding an answer would be so complicated. Because for every problem that secession tries to solve, a new one pops up. Last episode, we talked about California's dark history and how today, California natives are fighting to reclaim the lands that were taken from them. In response, Marcus, Lewis, and CalExit have made a radical proposal to turn over almost 50% of the state to tribes.
So the native people are going to get the land back on a scale that no one in America has ever seen. Our plan dwarfed their wildest dreams by like 1,000%. So when I was talking to some of the Lakota, they were like, oh my God, you guys should totally do this because no one in America is even thinking on this scale. It's only us. Like, very few tribes even have the cojones, as they say, to ask for that much land. And we were saying, hey, take half of it back.
But while that proposal might benefit some native groups, it's likely to really piss off another group of people, the members of the state of Jefferson.
Here in the rural counties of Northern California, some residents say it's time for a new declaration of independence. They want to separate from California and create a 51st state. The state of Jefferson.
State of Jefferson activists want to found a new state on some of the same land that CalExit is promising to return to tribes, which raises two problems. First, the land can't belong to both tribes and to a future state of Jefferson. And second, CalExit is going to have to figure out how to deal with the millions of conservative Californians who have their own ideas about how they want to be governed. The state of Jefferson is just one part of a broader fight between the state's rural counties, which cover huge areas of land, and big coastal cities like San Francisco, which have way, way more people. Today, we're going to tell you the story of that fight by taking you to a place called Shasta County. It's a place where far-right extremists are building their vision of California. And it's a lot different from what CalExit is promising.
This has been a brawl, you know, between two sides that fucking hate each other.
They're training with guns and they've got all these weapons.
This is a complete, unequivocal overthrow of the government. And I am deeply concerned that Shasta County will literally collapse.
The largest river in California is the Sacramento River. It empties into the San Francisco Bay, and if you followed it to its source, you'd travel about 300 miles northeast, ultimately reaching Mount Shasta. Along the way, you'd pass right through Shasta County.
Shasta County is, I always refer to it as the jewel of the North State. We're at the top end of the Sacramento Valley, and we're surrounded by mountains on three sides.
This is Mary Rickert. She's in her 70s and has lived in Shasta County for decades.
Being in the ranching and farming industry, being outside and being around nature is really, really important to me. So it's a really wonderful place to live. If you like to hunt, if you like to fish, if you like to do water sports, we have the Sacramento River that runs through the town of Redding.
Redding. If that name sounds familiar, it's because it's the same area once known as Redding's Ranch, the site of the Sacramento River Massacre we told you about last episode. Redding is a town of about 90,000 people, and while it's built on the ancestral lands of the Pitt River, Wintu, and Winnemem-Wintu tribes, today, the city's about 85% white. It's the seat of government for Shasta County, and its politics are the complete opposite of San Francisco or LA.
We are very, very much a red county, and I'm a conservative.
Shasta has voted Republican in every presidential election since 1980. In 2020, more than 65% of people voted for Donald Trump. Mary Rickert is one of the Republicans that Shasta residents have been voting for. She's an elected member of the County Board of Supervisors. The board is the primary local authority and has five members, all of whom are Republicans. These days, Mary is scared. Scared enough that she didn't even show up to the first interview that we scheduled with her.
When I got the original request to meet with you, and I thought to myself, you gave me the address of something to Hema Street, and I thought, let me just Google that because I think this might be another setup.
Not knowing any better, we had booked a studio for Mary that was owned by someone connected to a far-right militia. So it actually crossed her mind. Was she walking into a kidnapping?
The kidnapping was, I just thought, you know, I always have to kind of keep an eye on, is somebody going to do something pretty radical? Because you just never know. This movement has been in full force for 2 years, and there's been a lot of threats. But I do have a concealed weapons permit, and I want to make that very clear. And I'm not, you know, not afraid to use it.
What would make a conservative Republican politician in a Republican county so concerned for her safety? To understand that, we need to go back to the beginning of the pandemic in 2020 in a bar just outside of Redding.
We're at the Palo Cedro Inn. It's kind of a landmark spot, you know, for this area. We live in a town of about 2,000 people, you know, and half of them probably come to this bar every day, you know, so it's a cool area. Everybody knows everybody. It's a small town feel.
This is Carlos Zapata. He's in his 40s, and like Mary, he's a longtime resident of Shasta County.
Who I am a father, a husband, I am a business owner, I am the proud son of immigrants. Parents that came here from South America, from Peru.
I came from a family that was the most beautiful family you'll ever see, but we didn't have means, okay? We didn't have whatever we wanted, you know? The only promise that I had of having a better life wasn't because my parents were gonna give that to me. monetarily. It was because they equipped me with a lot of confidence in myself to be able to go out and do whatever the fuck I want.
Carlos is proud of his history and the life that he's built for himself, his wife, and their four kids.
Yeah, I had nothing, okay? I had nothing, okay? And I've made a beautiful, wonderful life for myself in this country.
He's a successful local businessman and a popular guy around town. But his business is hospitality. It's people getting together for a beer. So when the pandemic arrived and the state ordered bars to close, Carlos was not about it.
When the lockdowns happened, obviously, it wasn't an option for me to lock down. I knew that if I lost my staff, I just wouldn't get them back. You know, I also knew that they needed to work. We had a talk with them, and some of them were like, hey, if we go home, we're going to get back on drugs, back on alcohol, back on drinking, and you're just not going to see us again, you know? So that's fair. So I wanted to create, you know, an environment that they could continue to make a living for themselves, their families, stay safe, and for me to be able to make a living for my family, you know? That was really important. So I said, you know what, screw that. I'm going to stay open.
In the early days of the pandemic, many Americans considered it their civic duty to shelter in place to help prevent the spread of COVID. But in Shasta, the decision to stay open, it was considered heroic. To his supporters, Carlos was standing up for his family and his employees in the face of government overreach. The standoff between Carlos and the government all came to a head in August 2020. Carlos stood up at a Shasta County Board of Supervisors meeting and laid into Mayor Ricker and the other elected officials.
I wasn't going to speak. I was asked to speak here, you know. Sheriff, good to see you. I'm telling you guys, you know, I'm pretty appalled at what's going on as you're sitting there with your masks on. I don't blame you for wearing masks because I'd be hiding my face too if I was you for what you're doing. This is absolutely horrendous what you're doing to these people. I'm a business owner, and I'm telling you, our families are starving. Right now, we're being peaceful, and you better be happy that we're good citizens, that we're peaceful citizens. But it's not going to be peaceful much longer, okay? And this isn't a threat. I'm not a criminal. But I'm telling you, good citizens are going to turn into real concerned and revolutionary citizens real soon. I'm probably the only person that has the balls to say what I'm saying right now. That we're building, we're organizing, and we'll work with law enforcement or without law enforcement. But you won't stop us when time comes because our families are starving. I went to war for this country. I've seen the ugliest, dirtiest part of humanity. I've been in combat, and I never want to go back again. But I'm telling you what, I will to save this country. If it has to be against our own citizens, it will happen. And there's a million people like me, and you won't stop us. Open the county, let our citizens do what they need to do. Let owners of businesses do what they need to do to feed their families. Take the masks off. Quit masking and muzzling your children. How do you feel about being complicit in perpetuating that? The greatest hoax ever perpetuated on the American people, and you're a part of it by wearing your masks. In Shasta County, we're supposed to be red country up here. Not blue country, we're red country up here.
A local journalist named Donnie Chamberlain was in the crowd at that meeting.
The first time I heard of Carlos Zapata was that infamous meeting where he got up there and he spoke, and it really resonated with people. He became like an instant famous person. His video went viral. And I think people who were feeling downtrodden and, you know, the average blue-collar white guy up here who felt like he's not getting what he deserves, it really resonated with people.
Well, you can see behind me, there's a group of people here gathered in front of the courthouse. They have their flags as well as their signs out here that say, support Carlos Zapata.
The most visible national face is California State Militia member Carlos Zapata.
Militia member and mask opponent, Carlos Zapata.
Carlos Zapata, we love you and salute you.
You don't vote your way out of socialism. Once it takes root, the only way to eradicate it is to fight with arms, to have a violent, violent confrontation, have blood in the streets.
Donnie was one of the many journalists to cover that moment, and she has continued to report on the story ever since. Because Carlos, as famous as he is really just the most recent and visible symptom of an issue that has been stirring resentment in Shasta County for decades. A lack of representation.
It's really about representation. You know, we do not have representation in the rural parts of America. This is the way it goes, is that people move into the cities, and these people in the cities have large populations that carry the vote. So we're constantly fighting to be heard. You know, we're like that kid in the back of the class raising his hand going, hey, pick me, you know, I have a question that needs to be answered.
Today, the California State Senate has 40 members. Unlike the U.S. Senate, where every state gets the same number of legislators, California state senators are apportioned by population. That means that right now, 15 senators represent Los Angeles County alone. And in contrast, there's only one senator to represent an entire group of 11 northern counties, including Shasta. That's democracy, majority rule. A lot of people live in California's big cities, and so of course, they have more influence on how the state is run. So what's the problem? For Carlos and others upstate, they see the structure of California state government as tyranny. Decisions that affect Shasta County end up getting made with little input from the people who actually live there. And it's led many people to call for a big change.
It's a real old issue, you know? And it's been a big issue here in the North State to secede, you know, from California, to have the state of Jefferson, you know, the 51st state.
The idea of the state of Jefferson has been around for a long time, going back to at least the 1940s. It would create a new U.S. state out of parts of Northern California, and in some versions, parts of Oregon as well. Statehood means Jefferson could make its own rules, and it would gain two seats in the U.S. Senate, giving it just as much representation as the rest of California. It could become another rural conservative state, like Wyoming or Montana, and have a huge impact on the political balance of the United States. The allure of all that power, of more representation, means the state of Jefferson concept has a lot of support. As of 2018, 21 Northern California counties have passed or approved official resolutions calling for their region's independence. 21 counties. Here's Terry Raposa. He's a leader in today's State of Jefferson campaign.
I think that the situation of a state like California, as big as it is, needs to be broken up. In California, you're looking at one assemblyman for every 500,000 and one senator for every million. That's crazy. But you think about that a minute. Now, if you're one of 80 assemblymen, how are you supposed to represent 500,000 people?
On this simple point, maybe Terry and Carlos' frustration is understandable. Their voices are getting drowned out by all the other residents of the state, so they end up getting stuck with policies that they don't agree with, and there's nothing they can really do. But what exactly are these policies that they're upset about?
So, I mean, the whole thing is you've lost your liberty. Are you okay with that? Are you okay with the highest gas prices in the United States? Are you okay with the fact that if you own a store in your toy aisle, you have to have transgender toys? Are you okay with, your daughter going to high school, and because Joe feels like Joanne that day, he can take a shower with her after PE? I mean, is that okay?
When Terry and Carlos talk about their freedom or their liberty, they're often talking about what they see as their right to live in a society that only reflects their values. They see it as an infringement on their freedom to allow you, as a trans person, access to a bathroom that matches your gender identity. It's an infringement on their freedom to take safety measures that could protect everyone from COVID-19.
If you come try to rip my children out of my house to vaccinate them, if you try to rip me out of my house to vaccinate me, I'm gonna kill you. You know, it's as simple as that. I make no qualms about it.
CalExit builds itself as a progressive movement, and its stated goal is to create a new nation with quote-unquote California values. Here's how Lewis described it back in our first episode.
I think that California as an independent country would be able to do things to make the world a better place. I mean, imagine a California where you had, you know, quote unquote free university education and quote unquote free healthcare. I mean, you're kind of turning into a country like Northern Europe. And so that's kind of the direction that we'd like to take California, not to say that.
So it might seem that the values of CalExit and of people like Carlos and Terry are in pretty direct conflict, which is a big problem. Because despite its reputation as a blue state, California has millions and millions of conservative residents. Can you guess which U.S. state cast the most votes for Donald Trump in 2020? Yeah. It was California. So, how is CalExit going to govern a country built on progressive values when so many of its people seem to want something different? The answer is actually pretty wild, because despite what they've said, a progressive nation may not actually be what Marcus and Lewis have in mind. And in fact, their plan might end up achieving the exact opposite.
So what's happening today? Why are you guys here today?
It's a rebuke or refutation of Donald Trump and the fact that America chose him as their election official. Now, what kind of people elect a man like that? The answer, not Californians.
After the 2016 election, huge numbers of liberals flooded into CalExit, thinking it was some kind of escape from Donald Trump's America, partially because Marcus and Lewis had described it that way. A lot of these new CalExit supporters were confused at what they found. Here's Lewis.
And so when we were all of a sudden deluged with all these new left-wing and Democratic supporters in our campaign, and they thought that this was an anti-Trump movement, and they found out that, oh, Lewis is a registered Republican, he voted for Trump, and Marcus was a registered Republican and has been the host of a conservative talk radio program, they didn't really like that.
It wasn't just that Lewis was a Republican who had voted for Trump. Lewis had a track record.
Before I was involved in the California Independence Campaign, people knew me as the person who started the largest social media campaign against same-sex marriage in the United States. And I traveled around the United States with the National Organization for Marriage, which is a conservative right-wing group. And we traveled around the country to oppose the spread of same-sex marriage.
Back in the late 2000s, Lewis Marinelli was one of the nation's foremost opponents of marriage equality. While he later recanted his views, it was hard to tell if this conversion was genuine or just politically convenient. Here's Theo Slater. He was an early CalExit supporter.
When I met Lewis, he was pretending to be kind of a recovering Republican who had made some mistakes in his past, but now wanted an open, inclusive culture and in independent California. I don't believe that he actually ever really held those views, but I think that he was pretending to in order to find people to work with on this project.
Lewis is actually pretty upfront about the fact that he intentionally disguised his beliefs to people within CalExit.
I personally felt like my job was to represent the movement more than my personal views. And so therefore, a lot of times I found myself moderating my views, biting my tongue, just to simply not make it a campaign about Lewis Marinelli's personal views, but I was able to keep it from becoming too far left-wing. So I was able to be that moderate voice and try to filter some of the craziness that comes out of the far left. I was able to present the argument for CalExit from that point of view. And instead of saying, well, California should become independent because we can save the world and we can save the whales and we can, you know, stop the trees from being cut down, I wouldn't allow the movement to become a woke politics, left-wing woke campaign.
CalExit, at least Lewis's version, wouldn't create a new progressive nation. It might actually achieve the opposite, reducing liberal control of California government and giving more power to conservative places like Shasta County.
I had always hoped that if California became an independent country, that the system in government in Sacramento would be reformed to implement something like proportional representation, and it wouldn't be just one party rule by the Democratic Party, and that would, I think, be better representative of the state than just the Democratic Party.
There's nothing wrong, of course, with the idea of giving more power to people with differing views. And proportional representation is how many other countries work, like the UK. But the point is this. California isn't as progressive as most people believe. It has millions of voters like Carlos Zapata and Terry Raposa, and their vision of California looks a lot different from what CalExit is promising. What would California, led by the far right, look like? Shasta County is a great example. Today, it's in the middle of a war for control of its own government. And the far right is winning. Which brings us back to the tape that you heard at the beginning of this episode.
Look in my eyes, Dolly, because I'm speaking to you. If you think we're going to cave, if you think that we're going to give in because you write about us, our families, our children, you're wrong. This is our county, Donnie. We're fighting to take it back from people like you.
That voice that you're hearing belongs to Carlos Zapata. He's speaking from a podium during a meeting in the chambers of the Shasta County Board of Supervisors. Donnie Chamberlain was there. Donnie has aggressively reported on Carlos since he first came to prominence in August of 2020. Here's Donnie.
Carlos Zapata wrote a post, which we have a screenshot of somewhere, that says, you know,
we're the ones in charge. Wait till we take over the whole fucking county and we'll recall all their asses and I'll be in charge and that kind of thing. So that seed was planted about recalling the whole board, everybody.
Today, Carlos Zapata is a highly visible supporter of an effort to recall and replace Shasta County's Board of Supervisors with a slate of far-right candidates.
The recall campaign was to remove the entire Board of Supervisors and take back Shasta County and make it how they want it. More like a 51st state, it'll be like a hostile takeover, and then we'll do what we want with the county.
One of the recall campaign's first targets was Mary Rickert.
This isn't just a recall. That was just the tip of the iceberg. This is a complete, unequivocal overthrow of the government. It's all about that control and takeover of power. Well, they have it. They are in control now.
Mary survived the recall against her, but others weren't as lucky. The far right now controls a majority of votes on the board, and they're making big changes, purging the government of opposition, including firing the county health officer for enforcing state COVID policies.
We were just a small conservative county, and we've been overtaken and targeted by an extreme group of people who want to make it even more conservative than it already was. There's white Christian nationalists, there's Proud Boys, there's State of Jefferson, there's the Cottonwood Militia. So there are all these groups, but the one thing they all have in common is liberty and freedom. And by liberty and freedom, they mean to do whatever they damn well want.
Here's Terry Raposa.
And Martin Luther King, of course, said, "I have a dream." And I think that's what we're missing in America now, is having a dream to do whatever you want, however you want it. And I think that's something we're missing.
Yeah, I don't even know what to say about that. As for Carlos, the fight in Shasta is just the beginning. He's founded a media company to teach other far-right activists how to launch their own recall campaigns. He believes he's helping to usher in a new era of government in California.
I mean, most people are fucking retarded, you know? I mean, you could ask them who the vice president is, they wouldn't know. Speaker of the House is, I don't know. So I think it's up to intelligent people that have studied history, that understand this country, to get together and to figure out how to move this thing forward, you know? I understand people say it's America, everybody has a right to free speech. Absolutely, you can say whatever the fuck you want. It doesn't mean I have to listen to you. And it certainly doesn't mean I have to legislate based on your stupid ideas, you know?
So Carlos says that his views aren't being heard in government. And then in the next breath, he also says he doesn't have to listen to people that he disagrees with. It makes it pretty clear that when he says he wants fair representation, he really just means he wants a system that's more representative of him. Democrats vastly outnumber Republicans in California. But in a state of 40 million people, that means there are millions of conservatives who feel disenfranchised from the current system. And some of them on the far right are angry enough that they're taking action. In Shasta, that's had some pretty scary results. So what do you do about it? Do you just tell Carlos Zapata, majority rules, and call it a day? According to Marcus from CalExit, well, yeah.
I'm of the opinion of you follow the law, and democracy's what it is. You represent a tiny fraction of the population. It's not going to go the way that you want. Sorry, your option is to move, or do what a lot of the other Republicans and conservatives in California do, deal with it, and just stay here.
And as far as the state of Jefferson, Marcus sees no reason why CalExit would let the region claim its independence.
The Jefferson region, they're not really in any sort of bargaining position. You know, they can't go, we'll leave and it'll hurt your economy. No, it won't. You're a fraction of the population and you're a fraction of the economy. So you really can't do anything to impact us other than just complain.
The thing is, though, I don't think CalExit can actually afford to let Jefferson leave because Jefferson and Shasta County have something that California really needs. Water.
California as we know it today would not exist without the water system that moves water from Northern California to Southern California.
If you live in Sacramento or San Francisco, a big portion of your water is coming from Northern California. In fact, all of California's big cities rely on water that comes from somewhere else, from upstate, from the Sierra Nevada mountains, or even from out of state entirely. Which brings us to the subject of our next episode, water. Historic droughts worsened by climate change have put California's water supply under massive strain. And if CalExit were to occur, some people think that it could create a crisis. You won't be surprised to hear that Marcus from CalExit has a point of view on that.
Water. We have no water problem in California. Everybody's wrong. There is no water issue in California. We have no water problem at all. Everybody's dead wrong.
Next episode, we ask, what about water? It's a topic that literal wars have been fought over. And CalExit or not, more wars might be coming to California.
Power and possessions and pleasure, you know, they have ruined history. They've caused so much suffering throughout forever. Power, possessions, and pleasure. And with those guys, it's power and it's money. They want money.
That's next time on The Last Resort. The Last Resort is an Interval Presents original production from Awfully Nice. From Interval Presents, the executive producers are Alan Coy and Jake Kleinberg. Executive producers from Awfully Nice are Jesse Burton and Katie Hodges. Written and produced by Jesse Burton and Dana Balut. Associate producer is Suzanne Gaber. Project management by Kadi Kamakate. Editing, sound design, and mix by Nick Cipriano and Kiana McClellan of Bang Audio Post. Original music by my boy Matawa Yuhi and me, Shutezgot. Theme song by me, Shutezgot, and Sweet Sound. Fact checking by Lauren Vespoli. Script consultation by William Bauer. Operations lead is Sarah Yu. Business development lead is Sheffy Alenswig. And marketing lead is Samara Still. Special thanks to A. Phillips Production. I'm your host, Shutezgot. For a full list of the sources used in this episode, please check the show notes. Make sure to follow, rate, and review The Last Resort on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you for listening. I run with the wolves, we run through the woods, we run when we want. I run with the wolves.